I'd been on nights that night, come home, taken my lovely dog for a walk, came back, traditionally had a cup of tea, and just got into bed at 8:25. There was this, we would call it an explosion, but it wasn't bone-shattering, cracking explosion, it was more of a woof. Thankfully I had my windows open, because I think the blast would have sent the glass in. But I had my windows open and it just sent the curtains out. My dog, who nothing fazed him, loud bangs never worried him, but he did get up in his bed and just stared straight at me enough to say, "What was that?" And I thought, down the bottom of the road we've got a plumber's, and out the back they've got colour gas bottles. And I really thought, oh dear, something's happened and it's gone up. So I jumped out of bed, got dressed, left the house, running down the road, where it's very quiet. Always remember that, it's so quiet. And I met a Marine coming up the road, and all he was doing was shaking his head. He was in a state of shock, I guess, and he was saying, "The bastards have done it, the bastards have done it." And I stopped in front of him, and I still didn't realise what had taken place. And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "The bastards have done it." I said, "Who?" And he said, "The explosion, they've blown us up." And then I realised, and I could then see, it was like film of smoke and dust and what have you. And he told me then to go back home, and whoever I see, tell them to go into the back of the house, away from the front, because on occasions like this, there sometimes there's two explosions. With this I did, and you don't know, God, thankfully it doesn't happen very often, you don't know what to do next. And I went out to the front of the house again, and it was just like people beginning to come to terms with it. There was a lot of, obviously, Marines running around, and the noise started to pick up. People were coming out of the houses saying, you know, and I was telling them what I was told, you know, you should go in the back of the house.
Did people take any notice?
Yes, some did. I had at the time a garage where I used to leave my boating stuff around the corner in Campbell Road, and that backed onto where this explosion had taken place. But alongside the row of garages there stood a bungalow, and in that bungalow was an old lady who, anything wrong with the garage, you used to go and see her. And I thought, good Lord. So off I set, and I ran round there, and I couldn't believe the devastation round there. I opened my garage up, and I had a metal stake that come through the door, the wooden door, from that direction. The roof of my garage had been peeled back like a sardine tin. Then I looked at the old girl's house, and there was nothing left of the tiles or anything on the roof. And I ran to the front door, and every pane of glass in her house had been broken. And I expected the worst, to be honest. So I knocked on the door, and eventually she opened the door. And I really think I was in a more of a state than she was. And she had to be well in her 80s. And I said to her, "Oh, are you all right, dear?" You know, and I was really, I couldn't believe the state of her house. "Oh yes, dear," she said, "come in." She said, "I'll show you where I was sitting, the only place here." And it was so matter-of-factly, she was talking to me. She wasn't in no panic or... And she said, "I was sitting in that chair there," she said, "that's the only place." She said, "What a mess." And I said, "Look, you just sit down there again and I'll go and try and make you a cup of tea, like you do." And I went out into her kitchen. You couldn't make a cup of tea because it was such a mess. So I came back and I said, "Look, I'm going to go home and make a flask. And would you like..." "No, no, dear," she said, "no, no." And she got on my hand, she patted my hand as if I'd been in the place when it was... And she said, "Listen, dear," she said, "Hitler couldn't do it, and I'm sure these effing so-and-sos won't do it." Wow. And I will carry that wording to my grave, because, as I say, she was so calm about it, and I realised then that's the spirit what got us through the last war. I left the house, ran home, phoned a friend of mine up who's again was in the building trade, and got him to bring a load of tarps down to put over a roof. And I made the flask, went back down with him, and by this time obviously the rescue services and ambulances and everybody was there, and we went round. We didn't bother knocking on her door again, we just got the ladders up and started pulling the tarps up onto the roof, because obviously it's going to be a major job to put all the tiles back and stop the rain coming in. And that's the first time I actually see, looking over, of course we was on the roof, looking over the wall, exactly what had happened. And it was a hell of a shock.
How far would that house have been from the point of the explosion, probably?
70 foot, 80 foot.
Oh,
very close.
Very close, right.
Now the wall stood up to it, I don't know, because where the explosion took place, it was a matter of feet. There was a wall running down, and say this side of it was the garages. And when you consider some of the houses in Campbell Road was affected by stuff flying through their windows, bedroom windows, I just don't know how that wall stood up. And the damage it done to the roof of my garage, and likewise other people's garages, and what it did to her roof. My house was quite a distance from the actual explosion. Plus I had what we always called the workhouse, where they used to do the cooking, between my house and the explosion. So that took the blunt. But it still managed to shake my property. And obviously our houses closer to, the glass was broken and such like.
So what sort of time were you being able to put up the tarpaulin on this?
As I say, this happened at 8:25. I suppose I was with the old lady just after 9. And then Tom and my friend had come down and we started work. It would probably be 10:45, 11 o'clock-ish.
Were you at that stage monitoring the radio?
No, we didn't know at that stage. I knew when I was on the roof looking down that there was a lot of activity in the rubble, trying to dig into the rubble. And then the worst scenario was I looked down and they'd found a body and was beginning to take this body out gently. I don't know, because we was on the roof and we was overlooking it, and obviously I'm a civilian, I just got this feeling that I was intruding. What they were doing was their problem, and I was an onlooker, which isn't nice. So I had a word with my friend and we got down to let them carry on doing that. And we stood in the garage. Unfortunately, the news people were turning up. And I had a nasty experience with a photographer who came down and spoke to me about the explosion took place over the top, you know, the back of this wall. I said yes, and I explained to him that we were actually working on the roof, the old lady's roof, and they're just about to take a body out of the rubble. With that, he seemed to come alive, and he wanted to take a photograph of it, and I'm afraid I didn't agree with that, and I stopped him, physically stopped him. And by that time, a policeman came down, and I relieved the photographer of his camera, which he wasn't too happy about. And I told the policeman what had happened, and he took the photographer by his arm and said, out, and left us to it, and they cordoned off the area then. It then started to dawn on me and my friend that we was now witnessing something terrible. Because at the time when it happens, never experienced obviously anything, thank God, like that, and think hopefully never again. It slowly unwinds in front of you and it suddenly dawns on you, oh my God, you know. We're dealing with, you hear about the IRA on the news and what they've done and this, but it's always somewhere else. And suddenly, I mean, nobody in Deal ever thought they would target us. And people afterwards, you always get the experts afterwards, said, oh, the barracks should have been more protected. Well, why? We're talking about bands, people. But, well, it happened. And obviously they did take precautions after that, but you're just dealing with cowards. And
so how did the rest of that day pan out for you? What did you
They cordoned the road off. We finished work on the lady's house. We were stopped when I was trying to make my way back home with the police, because you know they wanted that road shut down. And I had to explain to them that I actually lived there. And I went home, and obviously my wife then had the news on, and it was filtering through. But I'm old enough to realise that sometimes you listen to the news and you've got to cut it by half, and you know, we believe when we're told by the people who know. But by the afternoon we were told, you know, people, the Marines had died, and you sit there and you think, this is happening to us. This is, and the Marines were loved by ordeal. They're no longer with us, and they are missed. I can remember moving into the house, and in the mornings the band used to strike up. First of all, they used to warm their instruments up, and that was a row. And then they used to start playing, and then they'd get stopped because they'd done the wrong note or something or other. And you could hear him having a go at them. And they start out, and people used to say to me, God, fancy you put up with that. I used to look at them, I said, put up with it? I said, people come for miles to listen to this band. Miles and miles. And I can come out of my garden on a sunny day like this with a cup of tea and sit in my garden and listen to them. No, they were there before me. I knew they were there when I bought the house. Never, never had any regrets. My biggest regret is that they're no longer with us.